This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Qantas has confirmed that a cyber attack has exposed the personal information of up to 6 million customers after one of its offshore call centre systems was compromised. And the breach includes names, emails, phone numbers and frequent flyer numbers. But thankfully, not credit cards or passports. So how did it happen? Who's behind it? And how vulnerable are the rest of us to help make sense of it all? We're joined by Professor Richard Buckland from University of New South Wales School of Computer Science and Engineering. And Richard is an expert in cybercrime. Richard, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Warren.
For those hearing about this for the first time, what exactly happened in the Qantas cyber attack?
Well, Qantas is playing the cards close to their chest, so we don't know all the details yet. But what seems to have happened is that some cyber criminals had managed to trick someone, some service support people, into giving access to a database in Manila, which is used, amongst other things, for frequent flyer purposes. So it was really a very clever tricking attack into persuading them to give people, it seems, persuading them to give the bad guys access.
I must admit, I received the email late last night from Qantas saying that my data had been included in the attack. My immediate response was, why is my personal data being stored on a third-party platform in Manila? And I don't, I'm sure there's terms and conditions and things that we've agreed to, but I don't remember saying I'm happy with that.
Yeah, well, I bet you did. We all do. We have to sign up to these ridiculous things. I think at one point someone estimated how long it would take to read all the privacy terms and conditions of one of the large people, and I think it was several hours reading. But I think you're asking exactly the right question. Not have they covered their themselves by getting us to click through and agree to something that we have no choice, but morally, should they be doing this? Like, it's our data. Mm. We've seen now so many years. The companies can't keep data secret. You can't kick bad guys out. It's like a sieve trying to kick them out. Ultimately, if you collect data and pull it, it will be compromised. It's like nuclear waste. So why aren't they getting rid of it? That's what I want to know. Like, for example, with frequent flyer, why would they need to know your birth date? You said the birth date was amongst the list of things that they stole. Why are they storing your birthday? It's not that they're going to say happy birthday when you ring them up.
We won't know who's going to say happy birthday to us now. We won't know who's calling. But I think, in all seriousness, Richard, is it at a point where you can throw more money at this? So Qantas, for example, in this case, could have thrown more money, perhaps not outsourced to whatever particular company it is in Manila. Would that solve the problem? Is it at a point where we can throw more money at it, that fixes the problem, or does that not matter? And they're so smart that they'll always get into it.
Yeah. I think you've got it in one there. Whether it was in Manila or Australia, I think these guys who are very good at tricking people. For example, this is the same. It's believed to be. We're still not 100% sure who it is. It's believed to be the same gang that's carried out the terrible attack on Marks and Spencer in England. And your readers or your listeners might have remembered that it sort of paralyzed that massive chain in England. It's cost, I think, them £300 million so far. So they're very good at getting in, at tricking people, at persuading. And I don't think it's a function of Manila or Australia. I just think it's a fact that people can be tricked. So it's not that we need more technical measures. I think a friend of mine has a farm and tries to keep the goats out of his paddocks. And he just couldn't do it with all the fences. And he asked eventually a wise old fencer. He said, what can I do to make the fence goat-proof? And the fencer said, oh, there's an easy test. All you do is you take a bucket of water and throw it at the fence. And if any water gets through, it's not goat-proof. And I think cybersecurity is like that. We have to know ultimately that a really motivated attacker will be able to get in. So let's make sure when they're in, there's not all this lovely stuff for them to steal.
Do companies need to start thinking about what data they need to store? Yes, we might have to give our birth date, for example, to sign up to frequent flyer for identification purposes, etc. But does it need to be stored once we've gone past the process that it's required for?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And of course, the answer is no, but they like storing it. I mean, until, say, 5 years ago, the 21st century was a century of data. It's estimated that all the data that the companies hold, the large social media companies hold, is worth more than all the oil reserves in the world. So data is valuable. So there is a mindset amongst data people that we should collect more data, we should store it, we should classify it, we should put it all together. Of course they don't need it. They just think it might be useful or valuable to them in some way. Perhaps they can market to people of a certain age or something, you know.
We're chatting with Professor Richard Buckland, a cybercrime expert from the University of New South Wales, about the Qantas data breach that exposed the personal information of up to 6 million customers. Richard, there's been some speculation about a group known as, is it Scattered Spider, possibly being involved? What do we know about this group?
So the group's quite well known. We're not 100% sure it's them, I should say. But it certainly looks a lot like them. They are a group of fairly young people, teenagers and young 20s, is my understanding, from English-speaking countries, which is unusual. They're not coming out of the normal source of bad guys, you know, Ukraine, Russia, and so on. England and Britain, lots come from there, some from Turkey, and they're very, very good at what we call social engineering or tricking people. They did a whole lot of malicious, sort of mischievous attacks initially, but now they're sharply focused on money. And they seem to be, they seem to be very effective. And we got an FBI warning, I think it was over the weekend or late last week, that they've shifted their attention to airlines. And they've already known to have knocked over two, and now Qantas is suspected to be the third. And that's what these cyber criminals do. They pick an industry, they get to know it well, and then they just systematically use the same playbook over and over again, moving through targeting all the people in that industry.
Richard, the customer data, as I said, includes names, date of birth, contact details. What risks does that pose for those of us who've been affected by it?
I guess there's probably three risks. The most important risk is that everyone being worried now is more, once you're in an anxious state of mind, you're more susceptible to being tricked again. Anyone that has those email addresses might be tempted to contact people who are currently worried, saying, oh, hi, we're from Qantas. We notice your account's been breached. Can you click on this link to fix this? Or, hi, we're from the police. We've discovered this. So my main piece of advice is, if you get contacted by anyone claiming to have anything to do with this and they've got a link they want you to click on, please don't click on it. There's just someone trying to trick you again. And the second trick could be far worse than the first one, because at the moment, as you say, they've only leaked this information. The second sort of danger to people is the information that's leaked is what you need in many cases to restore your password if you've forgotten it in lots of accounts. So, say, for example, Qantas Frequent Flyer, I haven't checked it, but I'm pretty sure if you know your date of birth, your frequent flyer number, your email address, your full name and your address, I'm pretty sure that would be enough to reset your password to your frequent flyer account. So the bad guys could log into your frequent flyer, but they could log into lots of other accounts you've got, perhaps even your, not Gmail anymore, but lots of other online accounts where not much information is needed to claim when you've forgotten your password, to claim it back. So I guess that's the danger, that using this information, people can now access other things that are using that information. And then the third thing is identity theft. There's this danger that the more data people collect on you, the more they're able to impersonate you and do a whole range of bad things, including, I guess the real killer is if they take out loans in your name or incur financial obligations, and it looks like it's you doing it. So that's why we're always really careful of this personally identifiable information leaking out, because we don't want identity theft happening. So they're the three things that people should be worried about. That I don't think anyone should be superly worried. If they break into your frequent flyer account, I'd say just keep checking it. Mm. Change your passwords, of course. And if they manage to get in, well, then just tell Qantas. I mean, Qantas caused the problem. Qantas has the ability to fix it. So I don't think that's a disaster. It's not like they're taking money from you. If they impersonate you in other accounts, that is a problem. So I guess just be vigilant in all your accounts. Just look for a suspicious activity. And then identity theft is the killer. I don't know if you can hear. I'm getting an announcement in the background. Sorry.
We can hear.
For identity theft, you can't detect when someone's doing it, but you can detect after it's happened if they've tried to take out credit in your name, because they're forced to go through the bank or whoever's providing the credit, list that someone's applied for credit in your name with the credit reporting. And there's three of them in Australia. Equifax is one of them. And they will tell you if anyone's applied for credit in your name in the last year or so, if you contact them. And I think you're allowed to ask them a couple of times a year for free. So I would contact one of those organizations and just check. And that's sort of normal cyber health, and you should probably do that every 6 months anyway.
Should we also put in other measures, like ensure two-factor authentication is in place on all the, our banking, et cetera, our emails, and perhaps even an authenticator app is in place as well? Would that help in terms of reducing them getting in and changing our passwords and getting access to our accounts?
Yeah, absolutely. Wherever there is this two-factor authentication, it just puts more grit in the machine of an attacker. It's still not perfect, but it makes it harder, and you don't want to be perfect. You just want to be better protected than everyone else, probably, is all you need to do. So yeah, turn on two-factor authentication, pick good passwords. Humans are really bad at picking good passwords, and you can, if you Google, what's the 100 most, or the million most common passwords, and you look down that list, most people's passwords occur in the first 1,000 or so. So don't think of a password that you think is clever. Just pick 5 random words out of a dictionary. That's probably the best you can do. And password apps, that you suggested that?
Yes.
That's not a bad idea. The danger with password apps, or the risk, is, of course, if the password app is compromised, and that has happened in the past, and you lose everything. But until then, it's really good. What a lot of people do is just write it on a piece of paper and go old school. If a burglar breaks into your house, they'll get your passwords in. But that's probably not the main threat these days. That was if you're really paranoid.
Finally, Richard, before we let you go, do you think we're doing enough in Australia to tackle cyber threats at a national level?
Yeah, I mean, this really is what this attack makes us think. There's nothing individuals can do. There's probably nothing the people in the call center can do to stop being tricked. There's little the companies can do to stop people being tricked, because they get tricked. Really, I think this needs a national response. This is really a citizen problem, a country problem. And probably what's needed is the government needs to introduce penalties if you lose people's data. At the moment, the only way they're penalised is if people take them to court in class actions. It should be something like, some lawyers have suggested, $10 or $50 for every record they a fine like that. Imagine if you lost 6 million records and you had to pay $10 per lost record. That would mean Qantas would now be facing a fine of $60 million. That's not going to bring the things back, but gee, it'll sharpen their concentration wonderfully and make them ask serious questions like, should we be keeping this data? How can we delete it? How can we make sure it's not there? So, yeah, I do think at this point, self-regulation isn't good enough. The government probably does need to put some encouragements in place to stop companies just being hungry for data and holding on for it for too long.
Richard, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Warren.
Thank you. That is Professor Richard Buckland from University of New South Wales School of Computer Science and Engineering. You're on Drive. That's my dog in the background.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.